Merry Christmas Eve. Awesome. It's a special day, you know, when we're getting ready to celebrate, or we already are celebrating the birth of this baby, this child who came to bring salvation to all. What a great thing. You know, what a great thing to have a whole season dedicated to, if only the whole season was actually dedicated to worshiping Jesus. That would be amazing. But I mean, think about how big of an event this is. You know, this is an event that we actually do set aside 2 days for it, right? Even workplace will give you 2 days off to celebrate Christmas and this miracle. You know, when we think about it, it's something that was spoken of for thousands of years before it happened. And here we are 2,000 plus years later, and we're still talking about this day. We're still talking about this amazing story, this moment when this child was born. Isaiah 9:6 says that, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." These words by the prophet Isaiah about the Messiah to come more than 700 years before this miraculous birth. And they surely stirred some excitement in the people of that day as he proclaimed these words of the one who is coming to save. You know, this child, he says he would hold this name that would be so great that you can't just boil it down to one word in what they understand right there and right then, because it wouldn't fully describe the depths of the meaning of that name and what it would be. And I believe that Isaiah, I've shared this before, but I believe that he wasn't given just the name Jesus to share because he didn't want to limit the people's understanding of how great this Savior would be. He didn't want to limit their vision of him and them to be short-sighted at the magnificence of him. What they would have known by that name is that Yahweh is salvation, and that would have been great, but do you know that he's so much more than just salvation? We've looked in the past few weeks, Jesus is Wonderful Counselor. His word is true. His word is perfect. It's beyond human wisdom. We know that we can marvel and wonder at him and at his guidance, and that it may not even make sense to us at times because it's so beyond what we can actually understand and what makes sense in our human understanding. But we know that Jesus is Mighty God, right? He's the one true God. Always was, always will be the one true God. He's the only way to salvation. He's the mightiest, the strongest. We know that he's the champion, right? We looked at that a couple weeks ago. He's the champion of every battle. He's the hero of every story. We know from last week that Jesus is Everlasting Father, not to be confused with God the Father, but he is Everlasting Father. He always has been, always will be. He loves us with that fatherly love where he leads us, he protects us, and he always will. And today, as we look at Jesus, is Prince of Peace. Think about that for just a moment. Prince of Peace. What does that mean? Why don't you say it? Say Prince of Peace. You probably have some ideas of what that maybe should look like, right? Like, what would a Prince of Peace do? What would you think that he would come to do? How would that look? I know what most people think. What the world definitely thinks is no more war, right? How great would that be? No more war. No more violence. No more hate. I mean, that sounds pretty great to me. I could go for some of that, right? Could you guys? I mean, there wouldn't be anything on the news, but I could go for that. This is probably something along the lines of what the people were thinking when Isaiah proclaimed that this Savior would be the Prince of Peace. They thought, finally, it's about time. All this junk that we go through is about to come to an end, because there's going to be no war. There's going to be no violence. There's going to be no hate in our world. And that's part of the disappointment that they had in Jesus when he did come on the scene, right? Well, he didn't end all war and all violence and all hate. He didn't look like this earthly king that they expected him to be. How can Jesus be Prince of Peace, yet he came and it's not peaceful? This is what the people were thinking. They had to be. He came and he's this Prince of Peace, and yet our world, quite frankly, it doesn't seem much more peaceful now than it was before he came. Look at what the angels even declared as they told the shepherds of his birth. Luke chapter 2, it says, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger.' And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" See, it's not that Isaiah got it wrong. Even the angels declare the Savior is coming and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Have you ever wondered why he's a prince? I mean, he's supposed to be the King of Kings, right? The Lord of Lords. Yet somehow he's the Prince of Peace. Why isn't he the King of Peace? Sometimes we've got to think a little bit outside of our little box. We're not playing cards. It's not ace, king, queen, jack, right? I always think of the jack as princes. That's why I say that. Does anybody else do that? Nobody else thinks of the jacks as princes? Okay, I always do. But we've got to think about what kings are and what princes are. They're both rulers, right? Kings are princes, or kings are rulers in the Bible. Princes are also rulers in the Bible, though. They're just rulers over different things. A king is a king over the entire kingdom. He rules the kingdom. And so Jesus can be a king, but he can still be a prince, because a prince is a ruler over a principality. A principality is a specific, a defined area. And so Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the ruler of peace. He is the man in charge of peace. That's under his jurisdiction. This is the defined area that is completely under his rule. He is the leader of peace. I mean, if he's the leader of peace, he's the only one that can take you there. He is the overseer of peace. If he's the overseer of peace, he gets to decide where it's distributed and where it gets to go. And Jesus is peace. Have you ever seen one of these? It's usually on a t-shirt. I tried to find a graphic, but they were almost all t-shirts. It says, "No Jesus, no peace." K-N-O-W, and then the K and W are different colors. So if you read it, it's "No Jesus, like to know, no peace." And then "no" as in he doesn't exist. No Jesus, no peace. Okay, if there's no Jesus, there's no peace. It's not possible to have peace without the Savior who came. It's not possible for us to have peace without Jesus. John 16, he tells us this. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Where is the peace? He says it's in me. It's in him. That's where the peace is found. Jesus provides peace. The world will produce war. The world will produce violence. The world will produce hate. But Jesus produces the peace. He did come to bring peace. Just because we don't see it doesn't mean that he didn't come to bring it. He came to bring peace. Sometimes I wonder if maybe it's just that we have the wrong expectation of what peace is supposed to be. Who says that peace is a world full, or a world that's free of violence? Who says that? We do. Where does the Bible say that? Our expectation of peace maybe needs a little bit of an adjustment. Everybody wants peace, right? When you watch a pageant, right? The cliche thing is that they want world peace. It's what all the contestants say. You don't, like, you can't win if you don't say, what do you want? I want world peace. I just want peace in this world, right? Every one of them. It's like, if you don't say that, you don't win. So they all say it. Everybody wants world peace. There's a study of the last 3,500 years of recorded history, and it showed that in 3,500 plus years, there was 286 years of peace. There's not very much peace in this world. That's less than 8% of the time that they did the study that was peace. And what's worse is there's over 8,000 peace treaties broken during that time. Okay? Peace is not something that the world can produce. It's not possible. It's not possible for the world to produce peace. Jesus has come. Why hasn't world peace come? Right? The Prince of Peace, he has been here. Why isn't peace here? Luke 12:51, he tells us, "Do you suppose that I have come to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division." Now, I don't know about you, but this can be a little bit shaky. The Prince of Peace didn't even come to bring peace to this earth. He came to bring division. His miraculous birth, the purpose of it was not world peace. It wasn't. It wasn't the purpose. His mission was never to just simply get all the people on the earth to be in agreement and be on the same page. That wasn't his mission. That wasn't his goal. We had that one time. The Tower of Babel. We had all the people in peace, right? They were all in agreement. They were all on the same page. And they tried to make themselves like God. Jesus did not come for peace, but he actually came to divide. In Matthew, he actually says, "I came to bring a sword." That sounds like the opposite of peace to me, that Jesus came and brought a sword. He goes on to tell us how family members will come against each other, and the people in your own household will be your enemies. This sounds like the opposite of peace. Why does he say this? He came to make a distinction, to draw a line between righteousness and unrighteousness. He came to draw a line between those who would believe and trust in him and those that would not. And if we follow him, if we choose to take up our cross, as he tells us, if we choose to follow him, listen, there has to be change in our life. And when there's change in your life, there's going to be division in your life. If there's change in your life, there will be, hopefully not violence, but there probably will be some hate coming your way. It's going to happen. It's a certainty that it will happen. Maybe this makes you question this whole Prince of Peace thing. I mean, who wants division in their own family? I mean, I don't. I don't want division in my family. But maybe we need to look at peace a little more biblically instead of just how the world tells us peace should look. Peace in the Hebrew here in this verse in Isaiah, it is shalom. Many of you have probably heard that word before, and it does have an aspect of a world that is free of war. It does have an aspect of peace that is free of violence, it's free of hate, but it has a truer meaning that is this: completeness and soundness. Completeness and soundness. Jesus is the prince, the ruler of completeness. He is the prince and he is the ruler of soundness. Now I want to tell you something about these words. Complete. Think about it for just a minute. Complete means to be full, to be whole. It means to have all the parts. It means to lack nothing. This is the kind of thing that Jesus is coming to bring. Not peace as in there's no violence or war or hate in our world, but that you could be complete, that you could lack nothing, that you would have all the parts that you need in your life to be full and whole. Colossians 2 verse 9 says, "For in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power." Jesus is the Prince of Peace so that you can be complete in him. In him you can have all the parts. In him you can be full and lack nothing. You can be whole. This peace isn't world peace. Jesus didn't come to bring world peace. He came to bring personal peace to individuals. He came to bring personal peace to individuals. We want God to just change everything, right? Just make everyone get along and life will be great. Not true. Life will be empty. People might get along with one another, but if Jesus just came to bring world peace and make us all like each other, life might be nice, life might be peaceful in a worldly sense, but life would be empty because we would be lacking. We still would not be whole. We still would not have all of the parts if we didn't have Christ in our lives. We don't have world peace because people don't have freedom from sin. Do you know that? Do you know if we want world peace, it's not that Jesus just makes us all get along. It's that we are all free from sin. It's that we all have Jesus. He came and was born of a virgin. He died on a cross. He was raised to life so that you could have peace. Now take this personally. He came so that you could have peace. Just you. And you. And you, and you, and you. Each one could have peace in their lives individually. It's something that's received person by person. And without that sacrifice, we would all still be enemies of God. We would all still be enemies, and it wouldn't matter how well we got along with one another. It wouldn't matter a bit. There still would be no peace. We'd be lacking something. Why is that? Because we would still be separated from our Creator. Because of our sin, we would be separated from Him. But Jesus paid that price with His shed blood by offering His life so that we could be reconciled. We who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. This is peace right here. Being complete in Him, knowing Jesus, all the searching and the grasping that people do throughout their entire lives. The drugs and the alcohol, the gossip, the slander, the pornography. You can fill in the blank. There's things that aren't even that bad, right? But all those things are searching and grasping for the thing that only Jesus can give us, which is peace in our life, which is being complete and whole in Him. This right here, knowing Him. Listen, having a restored relationship with God in heaven, having friendship with our Savior. This right here is how you are made whole. That's the only way that you're made whole. All other things are temporary and Jesus is eternal. Faith is peace. Peace comes from faith. It comes from trusting in Him. Romans 5, 1 through 4 tells us, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, in knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Because of our faith in Christ, we can have peace. That completeness, and this right here unlocks the other part of that shalom, of that peace. Once you have the completeness, now you can have the soundness. It doesn't mean that you can hear. It doesn't mean that you can play the drums. The soundness. Listen, this means to be healthy, and this means to be untroubled. Now, I don't know about you, but I would love to have a healthy soul. I'd love to have an untroubled soul. We were singing about it earlier, right? That soul, like it being well with your soul. Who here wants a healthy and untroubled soul? Man, I'll take some of that. When we take our rightful place in Christ through faith in Him, we're made whole. And when we're made whole, we can be healthy and untroubled in our mind, in our will, in our emotions. Listen, all that creates trouble for us in this world, it's all subject to Christ. He's greater than it. It can't harm us. It can't trouble us. There's this lady from the community. Many of you may know her. Her name's Delva Crost. If you know this lady, she's one of the sweetest ladies you will meet. And if you ask her how she's doing, does anybody know what she says? Every time. Do you know? Peaceful. Every time, I'm peaceful. But you know what? When she says it, I believe it. Right? Like, I believe it. It's not like she's just like, this is a cool thing to say because nobody else says it. Right? It's not like you and me when somebody says, how are you? You're like, I'm fine, and you're not. When she says she's peaceful, I'm like, this woman of God is peaceful. Like, I can feel it. I can feel that she's peaceful. It's something more than just a phrase that she says, and I've never not heard her say it. Okay? Every time I've seen her, I saw her at somewhere the other day, a store. I don't even remember where it was. And she's like, Pastor Tim. She's like, how are you? And I'm like, I'm doing well. I was like, how are you? And she said, I'm peaceful. And I was like, I knew it. I knew you were peaceful. Why didn't I say that? But she is so peaceful. And I think about a person like this, and I'm like, how is it that she can say it but really mean it? Every time, because I know she's got to be going through things in her life, but she's always peaceful. See, it's coming from somewhere deeper than just her mind. It's not just a premeditated phrase that she says, but she is peaceful because she is complete in Christ. She knows her position. She knows who she is in Christ. And because of that, because of her faith, she's gotten to the place, I believe, that she is experiencing this soundness where she is healthy in her soul and she's untroubled in her soul. And whatever it is that she's facing, she's peaceful. Now, it doesn't matter that she's not facing, or it doesn't mean that she's not facing things. It just means that the way she's looking at them are differently. How do we get to that place? How do we get to this place where Delva is at? Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We say that verse a lot. You got to continue on. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Listen, it doesn't make sense to be peaceful with all the junk that we have to deal with in this life. It doesn't make sense that a person can be peaceful when they're experiencing turmoil in their lives. But if we trust in Jesus, if we really give these things over to him, now I'm talking for real, okay? You really trust him with it and say, Lord, I'm giving this over to you who is Lord over all. I'm telling you, you can have peace as in this soundness in our lives. This peace makes us complete. It makes us sound. It's the kind of peace that surpasses all understanding. It's the kind of peace that we quote in this scripture. The kind of peace that, if you continue reading there, it says it guards our minds and our hearts. How? Through Christ. Listen, if we want peace on earth, if you want peace on earth, it comes one way, and that comes by you trusting Jesus. Because his peace comes personally to one person at a time, person by person by person. And there's no peace in this world except in the hearts of those who have received the Prince of Peace. This is the only way for world peace, one person at a time. It's kind of like revival. Right? We're always like, Lord, bring revival. Sweep across this town and catch them all on fire with the Holy Spirit. And what we ought to be saying is, Lord, bring revival and start right here. It's the same way with world peace. It's like, bring world peace. Fix all these jokers. Right? Fix all these messed up people. And what we ought to be saying is, Lord, bring peace to my world. Start right here and let me have that completeness and the soundness as I walk with you, as you walk with me. Let me experience that peace. That same Jesus that was born in that manger arose from the dead, proving his victory over sin and over death. Today, he sits on that heavenly throne and dwells in us by his Spirit, and he's bringing that peace to people one person at a time. And you know what? That's what we have to, that's what we've got right now. And it's glorious when you can experience it one person at a time. And as we experience that collectively and we go into the community and people are like Delva, where they can say, you know what? Regardless of what I'm going through, I am peaceful. I know Jesus, and let me tell you about him. Let me tell you how you can be experiencing this soundness that I have. How is it that you're dealing with all this stuff and yet you seem so peaceful? Isn't that the kind of things that we ought to be hearing? That's what we've got right now, but you know what? There is a day that's coming, right? There's a day that's coming where Jesus will be returning for his bride, the church, and he will place all his enemies under his feet. He will put an end to sinful reign. And at that point, when he brings heaven to earth, I'm telling you what, then we will experience perfect peace on this earth as he reigns as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jason, come. But what are we doing in the meantime? What are we doing in the meantime? We've got a decision to make this morning. Right? We can do one of two things. We can choose to live in peace, or we can choose to live in distress. You know, he brings it to us one person at a time because we get to make that decision one person at a time. I get to decide today, I'm going to live my life in peace, or I'm going to live my life in distress. You get to choose today, live your life in peace, or live your life in distress. So today you have that decision to make. If you would stand with me and close your eyes for a moment. And this morning, as we've been worshiping Jesus, as we've been thinking about this Christmas celebration that we have when this child came, we think about this baby. We think about the Virgin Mary giving birth to this child and the circumstances that he came into the earth, how he was so humble. Let us not lose sight of the way that he departed the earth to go back to heaven, and that was in power and in victory over hell, death, and the grave, over our enemies, and that he sent his Spirit to dwell within us so that we could experience his peace of completeness and of soundness. And so today, this morning, we're going to do a couple of things. First, I want you to just listen to this, just these couple of sentences. Know that God Almighty created you. Know that you've sinned and caused that division between you and the God who created you. And know that every path that you've taken so far has been a dead end, and every other path, if it doesn't lead to Christ for the rest of your life, will also be a dead end. But know that on that Christmas morning when Jesus came, that was the start, that process right there of offering reconciliation with God to you. And that if you accept Jesus and live in peace with God and toward others, that's what he provided for you today. If you accept him, you can choose to live in peace with him or with others. And if that's you this morning, I want you to step forward. Every other eye is closed. Nobody's gonna worry about what you're doing. But if you need to experience that peace with him, if you feel that you are not right with God, let today be the day that you make that decision and step forward. Maybe you've already made that decision. Maybe you've been living for God. Maybe you've been walking in the completeness of knowing who you are in Christ, of having that faith in him, but maybe you're missing the soundness. Listen, he came to give that peace that is complete and sound. And listen, you're missing a major part of that if you don't have the soundness. And that's not to make you feel bad. That's just to say that there's more for you to have. There's more to be had in Christ than what you're experiencing. If your soul is not healthy, if you're troubled by the cares of this life, will you today give whatever it is that's ailing you, whatever's weighing you down, will you give that over to Jesus today? Will you truly trust him with it? Because I'm telling you, if you do today, that you can experience completeness and wholeness in your life. In John 14, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus gives us this peace that does surpass all understanding, because it's not the peace that the world offers. It's not the peace that the world tries to create, and it's not even the peace that our world actually wants. Today, that peace is free for all who would receive it. We're going to worship Jesus for a few moments here, but if you have a need in one of these areas in your life, I'm going to be down here available for prayer. If you need to know Jesus, you need to recommit your life to him, I want you to come see me. And if you need to experience this peace, this wholeness, Lord, that the Lord provides for us, this wholeness by knowing him, I just want you to come and seek him this morning, because he will provide all for all who ask. If you keep seeking, keep knocking, keep asking, maybe you've asked for it before and you've not yet experienced it, know that he hasn't said no, that his peace is, he's the Prince of Peace. He's the ruler of peace. He's the one who gets to decide where peace goes. And he says that he offers that peace to all who follow him. Would you receive it today? Lord, we thank you for your peace. We thank you that you offer it for us freely. We thank you that, Lord, that there's always more to be had in you than what we've experienced thus far. And so we ask that today that you would speak to our hearts, that you would help us to recognize if there's things that we need to give over to you, areas we're not trusting you in. Lord, we can all be guilty of that from time to time, but let us experience your peace to the full today. So that as we go out from this place and we're celebrating your birth and we're with family, Lord, that the things that are weighing down our lives, that, Lord, those won't prevent us from having that answer today when we're asked how we're doing, where we can say, "I am peaceful," and that it wouldn't just be words that we say, but it would be the true state of our soul. So we ask you to have your way with us as we worship you. Lord, we love you and we praise you. We thank you, Jesus, for coming to save us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.